Well, good morning, everyone. I was blessed this morning already with this song service, and especially blessed with Psalm 347. Really blessed me this morning. And what Marlon shared on having faith and fearing not. I was blessed with that. Also what John shared there about praising and worshiping our Lord today. It's kind of what my heart has been on. I believe that what I'm going to speak on today somewhat surrounds that, and not entirety, but just like to share some words of encouragement today for everyone. And I was thinking on that statement John made, why do we worship God? And that's what my heart was thinking on. I was just wondering this morning what it must have been like being in heaven with the Father and the Son before creation and then after creation of why God created us human beings, I guess. Why he created us. And I think it got something to do with what John, has something to do with what John said, because I think everything else that he created, or he had at that time before he created man, if there was anything, it moved at his command. If he would tell it to move, it moved. So he created man and give us a will. I think it brings in much glory when if we have our own will and we decide that we're going to take our life and separate our life from the way of the world and acknowledge and recognize our God and give him praise. So, I believe that as the Father and the Son, they were enjoying the bliss of heaven and its eternal glory. And they were in heaven. I think, you know, we can just imagine a little bit. And all things were in control in heaven. And they looked down on mankind after creation. And the Father saying to the Son, what a mess down there. It says, these people are worshiping me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I have heard the voice of the words of these people, which they have spoken to thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me, the Father was saying, and they would keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children. So as they was discussing these things and looking down upon mankind, they begin to discuss, I believe, the plan of redemption. Or we can just imagine the plan of redemption for mankind. The Father did not put us in this world to leave us here, that we would be destroyed. I don't believe that's the Father's heart. But he loves us so much. So they decided to do what the Bible says in John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I want us to picture in our mind, as God moved forward with his plan for redemption, to redeem his people, a people who we have a choice to love him, to praise him, and to worship him. But instead, the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That was the plan of redemption. That's why he sent his son Jesus. With that, I just want to have a word of prayer, and then I'll continue on with my message. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. I just want to thank you, Lord, for sending your son, Jesus. As we As we prayed earlier, Lord, as we consider all the things that you have made, Lord, with your hands, we find you holy, Lord. We find you within ourselves that you are worthy to be praised, Lord, this morning. Knowing, Lord, that we don't praise you, Father. And if we don't do what your will you want us to do, Lord, you will find someone else to do it. So, Lord, we stand here today saying we find you worthy. And we ask you, Lord, just to anoint my lips. And, oh, Father, that you would take away this quivering, Lord. It be thy will, Father, that if I quiver because I'm not prepared, Lord, I ask you just to, then that I quiver, Father, but that I speak your word today, Lord. It's not my word, Father. You sent your word. I pray, Lord, that those that need to be encouraged today are encouraged, Father, and those that need to be convicted are convicted, Father, and those that need to feel assured are assured today, Lord, that your word is true. With this, we just want to say thank you again for sending your son, Jesus, that we as a family can gather together like this, Lord, to worship and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I was going to read, go through Hebrews 10 a little bit, starting on verse 1, Hebrews 10. I want to try to lay out here in the first part of my message the reality of Jesus Christ being a separate being, being the Son of God, yet the Son of Man, but yet Him being someone who came from a place far away in heaven to come to earth to redeem men. Sometimes we hear this story, and like John was talking about worshiping the Lord, we sing these songs without much thought. And sometimes we think of redemption, we think of God sending His Son. We think of it not as we ought to think of it sometimes. But it was real. He came from a place called heaven, down here, to redeem us from our sins. So we're reading Hebrews 10, starting at verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. And that's another thing I wanted to point out here, is that the plan of salvation that God brought to mankind, it's infallible. And it had a design, a purpose, sometimes more than what we think of it as. We walk in this earth. Yes, we ask for forgiveness for our sins, but yet we have no power to continue on. And I think that the salvation that God sent, because here it says that we'll read on here, but the sacrifices that they offered yearly, continually, make the comers thereunto, it did not make them perfect. For they would not have ceased to be offered because that the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance made again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of the bulls and the goats should take away sins. As reading here, verse 5, Jesus says, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, Jesus saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not. Jesus is saying, but a body, Father, hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then I said, lo, Jesus said, I come in the volume of this book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So through the body of Jesus that was offered on the cross, there is sanctification. We have a power in the power of God through His through the salvation that He administered, that we can be sanctified. In the old law, they did not have that. Every year they stood before the priest, slewing the lambs and the goats, and they stood there every year, and the same things. Same things were there. They had no power. But I know that the sacrifice that God made of His Son, yet I say all those things, but at times I find myself there without power. Even though I say that, I do believe the word will back it, that it ought not to be so. Because there is His sacrifice that He sent is thorough. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Verse 12, but this man, Jesus, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting to His enemies be made His footstool. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I mean, that's a pretty strong word. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof of the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. I know you often hear people say, you tell them something, and they say, that's the old covenant. We're living in the new covenant. You know, the new covenant, Jesus said in the new covenant that we should observe all things that He taught. In the new covenant, He talks about us following after His commandments, and if we don't do that, the body that sins will die. So the new covenant, I don't know, you often hear people say that. This is the old covenant. We don't need to live by that. But I say Jesus came and He made the old covenant. He strengthened it. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after this, we have received the knowledge of truth. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. This is the final authority, I think, Jesus is saying. If we continue to sin willfully after we have received this knowledge of the truth, He's saying that I'm not coming again to earth to be sacrificed. There is no more sacrifice. There will be no more blood of the goats and the bulls to take away these sins. And I've done it one time. I'm sitting beside my Father. He says, so there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So what He's saying, I do believe in the Scripture, is that if we find ourselves sinning willfully, there's hope. We just need to ask for forgiveness. We need to repent. We need to turn away and walk away. Because if we're waiting for Him to come back again, He will not return to bring any more sacrifices. But if we don't repent, it says, but a certain and fearful looking for a judgment and a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. If we don't repent because there's no more sacrifices coming, that's what we're going to look for. That's what's going to be there. He that despiseth Moses' law, he died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You know, he that despises Moses' law, they died under two or three witnesses. And God is saying here that sitting in heaven with my Son, and the people on earth, they need a Savior. I will send my Son. But He says, if we despise the salvation that God sent, He says, how much more of a sore punishment suppose you should be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he has sanctified an unholy thing. For we know, verse 30, for we know him that hath said, vengeance is mine, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly whiles ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while ye become companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while he shall come, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we, I trust, are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That was Hebrews 10. I always love reading that chapter. Seems like a final authority there when we read that chapter. I believe joy was flowing that day in heaven as they made plans. God was thinking no one will turn away so great a salvation, because it was God's heart that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. His plan, like I said before, of salvation, if we realize it or not, or if we find the reality of it, his plan of salvation is, it's you cannot impenetrate it. You cannot take it away. It stands strong forever. I believe that when he sent his son down to earth, he sent his right hand of power. You know, the plan that he made that day, or whenever he instituted the plan of salvation or brought it to light, it still has the same much power as it did on the day that he established it. I'd just like to bring out some points here, you know, of Christ. He was with God, and there we read in Hebrews where he said, O Lord, I'll go and do your will. He was with his Father. Read some out of John 1:14. I don't think I'll read all of them. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I believe this is Jesus. It's hard to get our hands around this, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Okay, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might believe, this Jesus. He was not that light, John wasn't, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was not in the world, it says, Jesus. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Then when God sent his son Jesus to this earth to fulfill his plan of salvation, it says he came into his own people, and his own people received him not. But as many received him, and those that did receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. That's the power that I was talking about, that I believe that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, offered himself one time for us. There was enough strength there that we could walk in victory. Which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten as the Father, full of grace and truth. Psalms 2:7 says, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And There we see that Jesus was begotten. I'm trying to myself figure out all this and understand it. Proverbs 8:20 through 30, it says, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. It says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While, as yet, he hath not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass about the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Reading all that, I'd like for us to get a picture and just settle it in our hearts that we know that God sent his son, that his son was a person, as we were in the flesh. But he also was a God. But he also was God, I'll put it like that. The Bible does not say that Jesus was made in the image of God, but it says that he was formed as God. In Philippians 2, 5 and 6, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So knowing that he was in the image of God, but he was formed as God. But yet he was also in the flesh. Hebrews 10, verse 5 said, wherefore, when he came into the world, Jesus said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Philippians 2, Philippians 2, 7 and 8. It says, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There it says, he was made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion as man, he had the same feelings we had, same flesh, but yet he was God. I know even after all the scripture, it still confuses me. But I do believe that he was the Son of God, as the scripture says. I believe that he was Son of Man and the Holy Spirit. I know one early Christian writer said this. I was looking up some of their writings to see if I could see it better. But he said, if anyone therefore says to us, how then was this Son produced by the Father? We reply to him that no man understands that production or generation or calling or revelation or by whatever other name one may describe his generation, for it is in fact altogether indescribable. That's kind of how I found it when I was studying this out. In my own words, I would say that God, because he created all things, he's the creator of all things, was going to create a son, but he wouldn't make him no less than what he was of himself, so he created part of himself in his son. And that's kind of what I came to. You know, people of other religions, they sometimes probably think it funny that we can't, we say the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three, they're separate, three separate people, but they're one. They may ask us, was Jesus God? Or was he man? Or was he the Spirit? Was he a Savior? We can answer those questions. We can say yes to all those questions. And we can even say more. We can say that he is the creator. If you think of these false religions, a lot of them will, their gods were actually created by our God. If they take wood and they form their God, well, God created wood. And he holds within his hands the very breath that those people breathe. And it is in his power. They use the strength and power that God allows in their body that holds them together to worship their foreign gods. So we do believe that with all the scripture says and that states who Jesus is, we believe that. He is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're three. They're all separate people. And with that, we know that we serve a loving and almighty God. So the second question that I want to come to is, why was Jesus sent to earth? I think we talked a little bit about that. I believe he came, the plan that God set up, and we know this, we heard this, that he came to set up the kingdom of heaven on earth. We find some of that in Matthew 16 through 13 and 19. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others say Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we can see that he's building his kingdom. And verse 19 says, and I will give unto thee the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Daniel 2:44 says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So that's the kingdom of God that we're living in today. It's going to be the last kingdom that God's going to set up because of sin and iniquity that abounded even in the days that we live in. We live in a time where not many people, and I know God has probably more people praising him than what we know about, but it seems like not many people are recognizing that this kingdom is the final kingdom. God set it up, it's perfect, and he has given us power through his Son Jesus Christ that we can overcome obstacles in this life. And stand before him someday. Even today, walk holy, as he said he is holy. Luke 17:20-21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, they said to him, When shall the kingdom of God come? He answered them and said, the kingdom of God, it cometh not with observation. You're not going to be able to see it in what they wanted to see it in like a building or an earthly kingdom. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So the kingdom of God resides in the children of God. And they possess the kingdom of God. And some people may ask, how and when does one enter into this kingdom? And Jesus came and gave illustration for that. He taught and preached. And many people are missing it today because they're not observing all the things that Christ himself spoke about. And you don't hear it much, especially outside in the world that we go in every day working. But Jesus said in Matthew 4:17, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And John the Baptist preached also in Matthew 3:2. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we remember when God established the plan of salvation, it was without doubt, it was perfect. Okay, not only did he send his son to bring in this kingdom, but through his death and resurrection, he brought power to live above sin and the devil. Do we believe that? You know, at times I find myself like that, and it should not be. But there is. He sent this power. This is a kingdom that will rise above all kingdoms, and it shall not be torn down. John 1 through 10, 17 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. I think I read this. But as many that received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. What else did he bring? I believe in verse 17 of John 1. Verse 16 said, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace by grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He also brought grace, and he brought truth. 2 Peter 1:4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, the kingdom of God is different from the kingdom of this world. But we live in a world that is corrupt, a society that is corrupt and full of wickedness. And I think we'd all agree it has a pull. Each and every one of us, it has a pull. It wants to pull us to its grip. We live in a time when no one wants to really hear the truth anymore. If you try to share with someone, they don't really want to hear it. The first thing they say is, well, how do you know that the Bible is true? The Bible was written by man and all these things, but they don't want to hear the truth. And then most people will start to compare. We'll start to compare ourselves among the people of the world. In the world, every man has his own gauge to measure up to himself. And I was just pondering on that. What is this gauge they use? And normally it's someone else who is, by our standard, a little more worldly. There has a little more world in them than what ourself does. And the Bible says that's not very wise. That we should not compare ourselves among ourselves. And that we should look to the Word of God and the foundation of God's Word and the plan of salvation that he sent, that we would realize these things, that we have power in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 13, 1-5. Paul says this, in the time that we're living in, and I'm including myself, this is the time, Paul said, that I'm coming to you. This is the third time. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present. Second time, as I was present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you were is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Paul says in verse 5, this is something that every one of us I believe it, at times, and many times, we should examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, prove our own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Christ, Jesus Christ, is in you, except ye be reprobates? And I often think of that. How do we know? By the word of God, we need to examine ourselves. Paul, 2 Peter 3, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by a way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water, it perished that time, because of people being ignorant of the word of God, and walking around scoffing the word of God, scoffing those who believed in God. It says, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Often it's good to be reminded that there is a place called hell. There is a real physical place somewhere in the outer darkness. But it's a real place. And it is reserved against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. I want to encourage people that this is not God's will. This is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens. I hope that's so with all of us, and we look for a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless and holy. In account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him, hath written unto you, as also in all the epistles, speaking of them these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Yet ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He commands us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. I have a lot of scripture I'm going through here today, but Jude 1:11-22. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and they ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity. Verse 12 of Jude 1. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds, they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that you should not, that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit of God. But ye, beloved, build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And it said, and some, having compassion, they made a difference. But others, saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Just going back across that, sometimes I get reading too much, I lose my concentration here, but God, we know that as we read these scriptures today, that Jesus Christ was a being, a person. He was also God. He lived with God. He was with God. I didn't find the answer to when he began to be living with God, but he was always with God. That what we read of him, and he told God that he'll fulfill his duty that was God presented to him, to come to earth, to live here, to teach the way of the new kingdom, and all powers of heaven will be back in it. And he gave us the power and the strength of the Holy Ghost to lead us in all truth. And we find ourselves sometimes far from this in even myself, because we live in this world, that sometimes it's easy for us to look outside of this world, and we want to compare ourselves. We maybe want to stay one or two steps behind the people, you know, that we work for, do jobs and stuff for. We look at these people, and it's kind of scary at times that we need to settle in our heart that what God has written in the Word is true, and it will. Stay. If we as people, God has given us appointed time here, I believe. If you want to say in Allen County, to do a work here, I believe. He's pulled us out. I know for me, I believe that was like that in the fall of 2003. God was faithful. And he began to nudge me. Because at that time, I started becoming really religious. And I started following after the law of my people. I had a zeal. I did. I had a zeal to do what was right. I just didn't know what was right. But God was faithful. He sent a messenger to me. Twice. And through the hearing of God's word. And just hearing the word of God being explained, the plan of salvation, don't remember much about it, but I know that the messenger brought me the word of God, shared it with me, and I become convicted of my sins. And I want to testify today that this power of God that I was talking about through salvation, the death and the resurrection of his son Jesus Christ, and the redeeming power in that. I know I begin to pray to God, that I was still using a prayer book, and I think that my prayers were hindered because I was using some other man's word, not my own. But through a period of time there, the Lord drove me to my knees, and I found myself crying out to God. I know everybody in here has the same testimony, and we sit there in that time, and we can testify, we can say that God, praying to him, asking him for something I didn't even know what I was asking for. But God knew what I wanted. of salvation. Take away the deep hurts and the conviction in my life and all these things that added up over the years. And I couldn't get rid of them by just confessing it to my ministers. But when God revealed to me His love for me, and that He did send His Son Jesus, and that my sins could be forgiven through the power and the blood of Jesus, through His plan of redemption, through that, God saved my soul. And when He saved my soul, I testify. I know we live in a world today that it just doesn't seem to be like that. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, it said, "Therefore, now if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It said, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And if you talk to people of the world today, they say they have met the Lord. And it's troubling because we see no fruits of righteousness in their life. And I don't know. I tell my daughters, they're 17 and 15, and I tell them that I'm kind of scared of the second generation. And then I fear myself because I feel I don't spend enough time in the Word of God, teaching, bringing them up the nourishment and the nurture and the admonition of God. We're living in a time that is very, very deceitful. I know, and God has given us, I was going to finish that, He's here in Allen County, He has given us a charge, and we need to keep. The other day was going through Esther, the book of Esther, and the divine appointment and appointing of God in Esther's life brought her in a position to where she was to be chosen as a queen. And I was going through this, and it really struck me. God placed Esther in a place where she was going to be queen. And she was walking with God. She filled her place. She's queen now beside the king. And there comes this degree from Haman, I think his name was. In Esther 4, Haman gave a decree that all the Jews were to be killed. And Esther was a Jew. And this place was full of Jews. And I think Mordecai, he told Esther, "Well, here's the decree. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king," or no, Mordecai sent word to Esther that she should go before the king and plead for their life. And here Esther, by divine appointment, is sitting beside the king. And now she has a charge. It says, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called," Esther was saying, "there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out his golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days." She was sitting there. She had a big charge. Mordecai and the Jews outside the city gates were coming through her to ask the king to plead to the king for their life. And Esther was saying, "Well, you know how the law states, if I come before the king without being called, that he can put me to death." And then it says, whoever was the messenger went back to Mordecai. And then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. This is what he said. It's in Esther 4, verse 13. "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time," he says, if you do not go before the king with this decree, he says, "then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." See, God, he'll give people charged to do things, but his place, his plan, would not be altered if one man fails to stand up and do and to take charge of what God wants us to do. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. He's saying, if you don't stand up, deliverance is going to come through another Jew, and your house will be destroyed. And he said, who knoweth? You were probably set. He said, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And I think that's right. She was set in place at this time to plead with the king to deliver the Jews. And we know the rest of the story, how it went there. But I thought that was something that sometimes we think God spins around us, but God does not. If we don't go forward in keeping holiness and righteousness and the will of God and observing all the things that Jesus taught us, then there will be a people that will. And back to this 2 Corinthians. After I was born again of the Holy Spirit, all old things passed away, and all old things that was old went, and all things became new. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He was in Christ. He's pulling his people back to himself. He's not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, Jesus Christ. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray, you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I was reading through John 12 one day, and I seen this scripture. John 12, 40, 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. He said, and I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, Jesus says, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. But he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, that same shall judge him in the last days. And then Jesus was in front of these people, and I sometimes think that's how we are. We go out witnessing, sharing, we say, these are not my words. For verse 49 says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. Jesus said, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, and that's what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life, everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. And I thought that was kind of neat, that I know I've often been out sharing with people, and I will use that. I'll say, well, these are not my words. This is what the Father speaketh. He commanded us to speak these things that he commanded us to speak. We need to speak. And sometimes it makes it easier for me to share that. But these words that today that I speak, I try to stay with all scripture today. They're not my words. Verse 13 of that's where I'm at here. Matthew 7. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. Scripture is teaching us to beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth fruit, good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. This is Jesus speaking. He's talking about the lake of fire here. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Underline this, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew ye. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The Bible, as we read it, I think the differences between we can call the evangelical world maybe, or those that say they have Christ, but they have no fruits. The Bible commands us that we not only confess our sins, but that we repent and we turn away from our sins. And that's the difference of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. It says today people are turning, we talked about the grace of God, they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And they have become like the children of Israel who said the right words here, but here's what God said. I read this earlier. I have heard the voice of their words, of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, this is my plea too, and I think it's all of our pleas. Oh, that there were such an heart in them. He was saying, if they only had a heart in them that would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children. And I gotta finish up here. I always think Jesus came, gave us the down payment, we heard of that. And the greatest gift on this side of eternity, before we go meet God and stand in his presence, is to be anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit. And to be born again. And where old things passed away and all things become new. That's our down payment, the scripture teaches, the Holy Spirit. And we look around today and we look at the worldly churches, and I'm not going to name any denomination, but we see the world pushing in to the churches. It's where in the churches, they're impacting the world is impacting the churches. And it should be that the churches should be impacting the world. Why is it? The devil is always, he's always going to try to take over the house of God. And how? There's many things, I believe. One thing is that we don't reference God anymore, like John spoke about this morning, that we don't worship him. We don't give him the honor and the praise that he deserves. We get busy in life, and we set this aside. We find ourselves addicted and praising something else in our life. I think of the world today and of the music that the world is listening to today. You ever go down through Fort Wayne, passing out tracks, and you hear the music all through life, you hear cars driving by you. The music is destroying people. And then one thing that I battle in my house, is entertainment. You know, should it not be enough that we have the Word of God and His teachings that we should be entertained? But we find ourselves falling under the things of this world to entertain ourselves. And at that time, we find ourselves in that position, we ought not to be afraid to ask the Lord to help us to help us to return to the Lord. Where we failed Him, we ask for forgiveness. We ask God for forgiveness where we have embraced the ways of this fallen society around us. That's what He wants. That's what He wants from His people today. That we would give ourselves to Him. So the Bible says if we humble ourselves for the almighty hand of the Lord, He will exalt us in due time. And I think times in my life, I'm too proud to do that. To humble myself. To say, Lord, this is sin. I believe His word states that He will forgive us. And remember, there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. The plan of His redemption. You know, back 40 years ago, 50 years ago, I heard a man say that there was a time that if someone was sinning willfully and they would walk into the house of God, they would tremble. I wonder if the churches are filled with that today, where people tremble and are convicted of their sin. And that's a good thing to tremble, for God is holy. Another statement that I heard that's possible by God, God has the power. He has the power to take an unholy person, take him out of this world, to make him holy, and put him into the kingdom of God. And then take him and put him back into the world, living among the world. God has he has the power. If we only allow him to work in our life, he has the power to keep us holy. He has the power to take an unholy person out of this world, to make him holy, and put him back into an unholy world and keep him holy. He can do that. If there is no conviction of sin in our life, if there is no burden to let go of the things of this world and walk with a holy God, and the question is the Holy Spirit there? Because I said, when a man is born again, all things are passed away, all things become new. There in the last days, I read, is coming the spirit of the lawless, the one, the Antichrist. You know, Satan today is wreaking havoc on this world. He is actually setting the stage. He is shipwrecking and destroying the faith of many Christians. And the Bible says, because sin will be rampant in the last days, the faith of many will grow cold. The prophet Isaiah says, this apostasy that's coming in the last days, and I think we need to look for this in our churches today, it's going to include the rejection of the message of holiness. It's going to include the rejection of the message of judgment. And it's going to include the rejection of the message of repentance. Because people don't want to hear that today. The churches of the world today reject these three things. And I pray that we all do as Paul says, that we examine ourselves. Are we rejecting this holiness from God and the judgment of God and the repentance? I don't have much more than that. Just hope you heard my heart today. Don't stand before you as one who is perfect. But I believe that we are living in a time that, as I read, it's not good. And I don't think we're going to be able to go through this life anymore just halfway. Because there's too many snares out there for our children, for ourselves. We need to be caught eating the Word of God. As Jesus says, whoever eats of my flesh shall live, and that flesh is the Word of God. And I was just blessed as I studied this out and read a lot of these scriptures today. Truly, the Word of God has life. So I'm going to close with that, and just want to say, if I said something today not according to the scripture or toward the truth, I do welcome you to correct me in that. Just hope you was blessed, and to say I love you all. God bless.